Welcome to Inside the Disney Vault. This is the podcast where we're going through every single Disney movie, starting with all the animated movies. Then we went to Pixar. Now we're doing DCOMs, baby. I'm Claire.
I'm Oscar.
And I'm Rachel.
What do y'all see in this vault today?
Ooh, well, this is a really festive part of the vault. And for me, I see a footprint with an Adidas shoe footprint.
I see a notebook with my crush's name written all over it.
Mm-hmm. I see a egg-shaped robot thing that looks like kind of a baby Yoda sort of situation thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that.
Obviously, we are talking about
the ultimate Christmas present.
Oh, come on. I tried to orchestrate. So have you all seen the ultimate Christmas present before?
Nope.
Yes.
We got a yes and a no, and I'm also a yes.
Do we have a memorable yes or like a passable yes?
I remembered the plot. I remembered certain parts, but forgot huge chunks.
Yeah, same. I knew it was about a snow machine and Christmas.
Right.
Yeah. I remember thinking the ultimate Christmas present was snow, which I guess is kind of the idea, but then... Might change. That might change. I don't know. We'll see what happens. We'll see what the ultimate Christmas present really is.
Yep.
So just some fun Christmas gifts about this movie that I'll give to y'all quickly. Ultimate Christmas present, our very last film from the year 2000.
Oh my gosh.
Oh no.
24th and final film. It is the 24th DCOM. It's from the year 2000, originally premiered on December 1st, 2000, written by Hallie Einhorn and Michael Hitchcock. Oh, directed by Greg Beeman. And our music, Phil Marshall, classic DCOM composer.
Back again.
Cast starring Hallie Hirsch as
From
Allie.
You've Got Mail.
Classically.
The little girl?
She sings Tomorrow. Yeah. Classically, iconic. Brenda Song, who we know.
From Sweet Life of Zack and Cody.
Yes, and The Social Network and stuff. Other stuff in the news and media. I believe she was trending on Twitter recently, and I don't remember why. Probably because of someone she's dating or something, I think. Do you ever find, this is a big tangent, but... I'm always like, oh, why is that thing trending? And I click on it and I get lost down a rabbit hole and then end up not knowing why that thing is trending. Because just about a bunch of tweets about the fact that something is trending. Anyway, I digress.
Yeah, I don't check Twitter enough to, no.
Yeah, you're not hip to the no?
Mm-mm. I'm not hip to the no, but then I still look at it. Anyway, Spencer Breslin... as Joey Thompson, also known as brother to Abigail Breslin.
Disney's The Kid.
Yes, Disney child.
Yeah, that guy works a lot. He does, I've seen that guy in a bunch of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
This kid books. Yeah. Blessed and booked.
He booked as a kid. I don't know if he books that
maybe
much.
Maybe he's closed the book.
Yeah.
Greg Keane as
Steve.
Maybe
it's Maybelline.
Thompson, maybe it's Maybelline. John Sally is Crumpet. Bill Fagerbakke, who we know,
Patrick Starr,
and the Mummy from Under Wraps.
Yeah,
Peter Scolari as Edwin Hadley
from Bosom Buddies.
And
the Honey I Shrunk the Kids the series.
Yeah. For some reason. The mom's not on here, but the mom, let me find her name.
That's
obviously
rude.
Lizzie McGuire's mom.
So rude. So Lizzie McGuire's mom.
It's Haley Todd or something, right? No. Yeah. Haley Todd? Is that her name?
Oh my god. Oh my god. This is so embarrassing.
I don't know, but I think that's so rude that the mom wasn't included. I mean, she had a chunk in the story.
Weird.
I mean,
Because that was what I took from Wikipedia. Sorry, apologies. All right, back in business. Hallie Todd, yes, Michelle Thompson.
I memorized those Lizzie McGuire credits at the beginning.
Oh, yeah. That is not burned into my brain somehow. Mm-hmm. Susan Rutten as Mrs. Claus, John B. Lowe as Santa Claus. Mm-hmm. And then we have some other people, but that's what I'll give you.
Wait, who played Patrick Starr?
Bill Fagerbakke, Sparky the Elf.
But who is that?
Sparky the Elf.
He was
the blonde one.
Yeah.
Oh, that's the voice of Patrick.
Yeah.
And then Bosom Buddies person is who?
The Weatherman.
Oh, okay. Opposite Tom Hanks?
Yes.
Yeah, he's the other Bosom Buddy.
Okay. Jeez. So, you know, you got a cast of people who've been in the business, so that's good.
Pulled out the stops for Christmas, you know, giving us all a gift.
They made the last 2000 DCOM really go out with a bang.
Exactly. Go out with a bang and a flutter of snow. Mm. And I think maybe we should whoosh on in.
Let's whoosh.
So, the ultimate Christmas present. We've got a weatherman. As we were just saying, his name's Edwin Peter Scolari, saying it's going to be a hot, hot Christmas because we are in Los Angeles, California. And as we all know, it's pretty hot here, and we don't
see. Yeah, but I would say my Christmas. Note to you, Claire, in that delivery is that you were putting too much emphasis, and we're actually doing your job well. Because this weatherman, right off the bat, there's something odd about him. You're like, what's going on? There's something very strange in his delivery. He takes a lot of pauses and doesn't seem to be into his job.
He's mad about it too, it seems.
Yes, also, he's pressed.
Also, it's funny because we get these like sort of like B-roll images of people in Los Angeles, and I don't know about you, but I've never seen anybody rolling around in a decorated convertible or decorating their palm tree outside. But maybe I'm living in the wrong part of Los Angeles.
Yeah, you're living in a non-festive area. There's one specific neighborhood. I'm not going to tell you where it is. Because
it's a secret?
I'll find it.
It's a secret.
Okay.
And everyone there loves Christmas.
Mm. Like a candy cane lane.
Yeah, it's a candy cane lane of LA. Can't tell you where it is, but it exists.
And it's all like Hollywood style.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, sunglasses on.
Yeah, but your Santa hat on and your sunglasses on.
Yeah.
Your Hawaiian shirt with your beard.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. That real Santa on vacation look only during Christmas time.
Yeah.
LA Christmas, we see mom's on the phone, and then this girl who is our protagonist named Allie is she's like watching the TV but seeing it's gonna be hot Christmas, kind of like rolling her eyes, and she's invited to this boy named Blake's party. Hold up though, this timeline's weird. His party is on Christmas?
No.
Yeah. Oh, no, it's the day before
Christmas. Okay. Eve.
So we are what, like 2 or 3 days out from Christmas?
Yeah, because yes. It's Thursday is and then the next day is the last day of school, and then after that is Christmas Eve, so it's the 22nd. And it's a Thursday. Let's check and make sure that was correct in 2000.
Please fact check that. Yes, I would love that fact check. So she and her best friend named Samantha are really excited because they're about to become popular when they go to this party. And our DCOM bingo number one, Dad pitches the idea bonesforbowser.com as an internet website.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
The internet, and Sam says, that's crazy. Do you think people are going to buy dog bones off of the internet?
Wow, you guys, hate to interrupt here, but December 22nd, 2000 was a Friday.
This movie is all wrong. I don't believe any of it anymore.
Wow.
Yeah, so
it was a Friday and not a Thursday. Okay. I guess we're gonna have to suspend our disbelief and continue.
I know.
Okay. Now I don't know.
What's next? Santa Claus, is it real?
What's next? There's no weather machine that controls the weather? I don't know what to do. Okay, I guess we'll just try to soldier on here. Okay, so mom is like trying to plan everyone's schedule because this family is very busy. They have a lot of activities and events in the days leading up to Christmas, but it sounds kind of like everybody has plans on Christmas as well.
Yeah.
Which, like, the brother's talking about, like, having a soccer game or something.
Yeah, your annual soccer Christmas soccer game. You don't have that?
I wasn't a very sporty child.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, I'm not from L.A., so L.A. did stuff differently.
Yeah, this is
true. You know, I've never been in L.A. on Christmas, so maybe this does happen in L.A. on Christmas. So I shouldn't knock it because I'm not an expert. I don't know. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe there are soccer games. Okay, all right. Well, you know, if anybody out there can tell us about a true L.A. Christmas experience.
Yeah, this podcast is just revealing to everyone what it's like to spend Christmas in L.A.
Yes, right. We've been leading up to this moment the whole time, and I must know.
We all live there, but we've never experienced it. I mean, Oscar, you've experienced a Christmas in L.A., right?
Couldn't tell you. I have the mind of a goldfish. It happened, and I forget the next day.
Wow.
Oh, maybe if you're not from L.A., you're conditioned to forget.
Yeah, I, you know, every year I do see a man in black, and he lights a little flashlight on my face, and then I just forget.
Wow. It's weird that he lets you remember that.
Yeah, that's the last thing he lets you remember. Yeah, he's like
don't I'm
forget
in training.
This moment, but before that, forget that.
It's because he wants you. It's because he wants you to follow him on Instagram. So he's like, "Don't forget."
100%. Yeah.
Follow
it's
me
a little
on Instagram.
I think it's a little thirsty, to be honest with you. But so one of thirsty. These days, yeah.
But you've never even questioned it, obviously, because this is the first time I've heard.
I mean, that's what happens in LA, though.
Yeah, Instagram is important.
I love this Men in Black Ultimate Christmas Present crossover. So I can't wait for more connections. Abby wants rollerblades and her brother wants some video game for Christmas, and dad's like, aren't you forgetting what Christmas is really about? And she's like, duh, it's about presents. But she's kind of joking. She's very like winky winky about it. And then we're in
class. How would you describe Abby's vibe? Like, what's her vibe? What kind
frantic?
Of a person is Abigail?
She's like kind of frenetic.
She's bad at school. She's selfish. She is rude to her friend, like puts her friend in bad situations. And her name is actually Allie, you guys.
Oh, that was my bad, because I said Abigail for some reason. It is Allie, and it's Allie in all of my notes. I just completely chose to ignore that.
Okay.
Thank you. Sorry.
Allie, short for Alligail.
Did you like my sneaky Google while I explained who Allie is?
You're like, this can't be right.
The crazy thing is my notes literally say Allie.
No, you just said Allie when you were naming off the cast, which is why I was like, wait a second. Is it Allie or Abby? Because I don't want to have another
Allie
cat
me.
Strike situation where we keep calling him the wrong name.
Yes.
No, her name is Allie. We watched Abby Cat Strike.
Oh, yes. Sorry. Yes.
Oh, my God. Oh, God. We're going off the rails. It's all my fault.
Yeah, but I think, like, Allie is such... She's, like, the quintessential 2000s DCOM girl.
Yeah.
Sort of, like, really interested in fashion. Sort of, like, a bit shallow, I'm going to say. A lot of attitude. Uh-huh. And, you know, we find out later that she is technically a bad girl.
Yeah. Ooh, she's a bad girl.
So our hero is a bit of an anti-hero in some ways.
Wow, okay. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it would have been fun to find that out sooner. But
why
is
it that most of these kids that we see are bad in school? Like, they're not doing well.
I think that was just the vibe back then. Like, I think in order to be cool in, like, the late 90s, early 2000s, you had to, like, not care. Because I remember that was, like, a vibe. Like, all the cool people just didn't care. Like,
also,
apathy was, like, awesome.
I think we're... like storytelling wise, it's like shorthand and like an easy way that something can be fixed in the end and show growth is like, right. And now they're good at school. Look at that.
Well, it's just like we saw it in the other me. He was bad at school. In Quince, she was bad at school. And then in Genius, he had to pretend to be bad at school to be popular.
Exactly. But that's, I guess, how kids relate. Like, if kids have an attitude problem, like, kids are like, that's cool. Like, I want to be this person. Like, I'm sure back in 2000, I'm sure when y'all watched it, like, you weren't like, oh, this is odd. I think you're like, yeah, right. Ellie's just like a normal girl in 2000s. Like,
I guess
that's cool.
Yeah. I guess it's like they're trying to make characters that are relatable to the audience. But honestly, I would rather put characters that are good at school so that kids are like, I want to be just like that character.
Well, 100%. You know how in Even Stevens, Ren was really good at school, but she was like an outlier because of that.
Yeah. Well, it's just like Gilmore Girls made me want to work harder in school so I could be smart like Rory. We need more characters like
but
that.
But I feel like Allie, now, if we were to make Ultimate Christmas Present today, I don't think she would be that mean or selfish or bad at school. Like, I think she would actually be someone who's, like, good and nice.
Yeah.
But back then, people loved being mean to each other. So, I mean, even now, like, Rachel, you said it, like, Allie was not very nice to Samantha at all.
No.
She's so
And mean. I think Samantha's a really dope friend. I would love to have a friend like Samantha.
Yeah, Samantha's cool.
Yeah, watching this, I was like, you know, we don't give Brenda Song enough credit for being, like, probably for our generation, like, one of the only Asian characters that we could see and, like, be like, you're in a movie again. I don't know.
Yeah. I really loved her. I don't really know her that well. She was in Zack and Cody show, which I saw a couple of episodes of, and I was like, she's really funny, she's great.
She became a big Disney girl. I think this was like her first Disney role.
Yeah, she did a lot of stuff. She's gonna be like, she has at least two more DCOMs that I can think of off the top of my head, Get a Clue and Wendy Woo. And then
and what's cool is like she's still relevant, she's still working, she's still doing stuff, you know.
She's
that's a name I recognize,
which she's great. Doing a voice on a Disney animated TV show right now.
That's awesome. So we love Brenda and the character that she plays.
Oh, and Sam too.
Sam, her character. Abby Allie, go fuck yourself. Just kidding. Sort of. Not really. Just kidding. Anyway, back to business. All right. Allie's... Okay, so we're in class. We see that Allie, like we were saying, she's kind of like a daydreamer. She's doodling. She doesn't care about her 5-page single-spaced paper
that's
due tomorrow. It's a lot. But it's a creative writing story, so I think that it kind of makes sense that it's longer.
Yeah, and what's her story about?
Shakespeare.
Oh, she makes it up on the spot because she doesn't have it, and she looks at a Shakespeare poster.
And it's about he comes to now the present, but no one believes that he's Shakespeare, so he has to get a job, and I forget the rest.
So she's got to write this paper, and there's only one day until the break, so she's got to write it before then. And this small, tiny boy asks them if they're going to his party, and they're so jazzed about
Blake.
It. And I was like, I'm like, this is Blake?
Yeah.
That 4-year-old. Yeah, that's the guy that they have a crush on.
Yeah, he was kind of lame.
He's like,
hey, are you guys going to my party, Goo Goo Gaga?
Yeah, and they were like, yes, we're 15 years older than
it's
you, even
so
though we're
funny
13.
How they squealed after the tiniest little boy in the baggiest clothing.
Because like,
it's like, how do you make a small guy smaller? Put him in the baggiest clothing.
I mean, they must have been the same age because, you know, obviously, like, girls mature faster than boys. But, like, it is so funny watching this as an adult.
This is such, like, an anti... It just looked like such an anti-DCOM stud. It was like, what?
Because it could have been anybody because that's literally the only time we see him, right?
Literally. And I mean, no offense to the actor who plays Blake, but the kid barely said those words... Barely.
Hey,
I mean, it was just like,
okay,
bye, and then walks off. It's like, damn. Some kid dropped out and the director's son got to be in this movie.
Yes, yes, yes. That makes sense. So the girls ride home and on their bikes, and they pass by this like log cabin in the woods that they've never seen before, and Allie's got to find out who lives there because she's adventurous. She's a bad girl.
Yeah, and then Sam's like, nah. Listen, I follow you all the time, and I always get in trouble, which is like, this is not a good friendship, Samantha.
Yeah. Yeah, but they've been friends since they were little, so she's like, ugh, but fine.
All that, yeah.
Fine.
The weird obligation you have of, like, being friends. I've had friends like that.
Yeah. I don't talk to anyone from high school, really.
You know, yeah, if someone then, like, doesn't serve you anymore, you can let them go. It's okay.
Getting ahead of ourselves. Hold a pin. Put a pin on that.
I was just putting my therapist hat on for a second. You know? But I'll take it back. I'll take it off and I'll put my moral hat down and then I'll put on my note taking cap.
I've got my stress hat from Xenon on.
Oh, hopefully that helps you de-stress. So they see a guy building something inside.
Not just a guy, an older gentleman with a white beard.
Oh.
Yeah, and if you're watching this, you're like, that's Santa.
But also, he's like, okay, is this a good Santa?
He seems angry. He's got anger issues.
To me, he doesn't feel like a Santa.
Oh, like he doesn't have a Santa vibe?
Right. Look at him. No Santa vibe. No. Yeah, he doesn't. What is that?
His beard looks like someone spray painted it.
Yes, it looks like Just for Men gray spray or something. And he just doesn't look very old or Santa-y or wise. You know
what he looks like? He looks like that singer from the 80s and 90s.
Kenny Loggins?
Michael
McDonald would be a great Santa.
Is that who you're thinking about? Yeah, with that voice, with that really cool voice. Yeah.
Taking it to the streets. Anyway, I think that would be a fantastic Santa. But yeah, no, he's got like he just doesn't look like a Santa. You know what I mean? Like, I feel, is there like an X factor?
Santa? So Claire, what are you looking for in your Santa?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. I think there's like an X factor that I can't describe. I think there's like an air of like wisdom and age and like kindness. Mm-hmm. I don't know, you know, but do you, because sometimes you look at someone and you're like, oh, mall Santa, but other times you're like, that's a real Santa.
Yeah, he's got to be older, more quiet, got more like rosy cheeks.
Yeah, he's like a gentler man, like I would say.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like Santa Claus is a gentleman. Gentleman. Gentleman.
Because just because you put on a red suit doesn't make you Santa. Mm. Unless you're in the Santa Claus.
That's true.
Even that Santa was more Santa-y.
Or this movie called, I'm about to hit you with a deep cut, y'all. You ready for this? Or a movie called Call Me Claus, which is about none other than Whoopi Goldberg playing Santa Claus.
Wow.
Because she took his Santa hat. And now she had to play Santa. So everyone... Yeah. Stop what you're doing.
Okay.
Put down the ultimate Christmas present. Pick up Call Me Claus and watch that.
Okay, I'm going to do that now. So I'm going to talk to you guys in like an hour and a half.
No. Keep listening to our podcast, though.
Keep listening to our podcast. Yeah.
Oh, you weren't talking to me. I'm not supposed to do that right now. I'll do it after, for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I think there's just like a magical Santa X factor.
Mm-hmm.
I'll think on it. I don't know. I mean, I need... more opinions on this. I'd be happy to have theories, but you feel it.
And he didn't give it to you.
No, he didn't give it. Didn't give it to me.
X can't give it to you.
Jesus Christ.
Allie
gets angry about this machine that he's working on and he throws it out. And so then Allie goes and she grabs it from the trash.
Yeah, but she proposes ding dong ditching, first of all, which is like, why?
What is that? Please explain to me what that is.
That's when you ring someone's doorbell.
And then you run away. So they come to the door.
I was under the assumption that ding-dong-ditch is you leave a turd on the front door.
No.
I think that might be the next level of ding-dong-ditch.
Okay.
That's a ding-dong-poop-ditch.
Okay. But is it, what is that called then?
I don't think that has a name.
No, it's just leaving flaming dog poo on someone's front.
Okay. Because I thought that was Ding Dong Ditch, and I was like, this is why you're a bad girl, Allie.
That's like Ding Dong Ditch with a twist. That's like an elevation, you know?
It's the bad girls club version of Ding Dong Ditch.
Yeah, she's in the good girls portion of the bad girls club.
Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah, she. Mm-hmm. If there was like a scale, she'd be like a chaotic neutral.
Yeah.
Exactly. So she gets the egg that he threw, and then we see he goes out looking for it, but it's gone. Oh, no.
Yeah, because she takes it. She's like, what is this? This looks cool.
Mm-hmm. And then we're at home, and we find out mom's a caterer, and the brother's asking when they're going to get their tree. But again, what is the date? When do people get trees?
Well, I guess it's a little too late. I mean, some they should have gotten that tree a while ago.
Yes, but I think some people do get them very late, but this family, I guess, is...
Yeah, because you get them later because they die after a while, and when it's that hot, you don't want your house burning down from a dead tree.
Oh, that's a good point. And I'm sure they're cheaper too the longer you wait.
Yeah. Everyone in LA gets their tree 1 to 2 days before Christmas.
Yeah.
This is what I've learned. This is what
December 22nd.
Is that is that when we see that her like cook assistant guy, whatever his name? Do we even know what his name is?
Oh, we do. I had it.
cook assistant.
Which here's what I'll say about that.
His name is Ruben.
Ruben Studdard.
His name is Ruben Studdard.
named after Ruben Studdard.
Well, he also appeared on American Idol, little known fact. This Ruben from the movie.
Oh. Are you serious?
No.
Oh.
Don't lie. People look to you for the truth.
I know. Claire, the hell?
You're like Abigail.
It was just a little joke. Yeah. Let me take off my joke.
I think
hat.
Claire's just gunning. She's gunning to be a bad girl this year. She's gunning for that bad girl spot.
I put on my bad girl bib.
Bad girl bib.
I don't know. It seemed like fun. More fun than a bad girl hat.
Good girls wear hats. Bad girls wear bibs.
Because they're messy eaters.
Because they're messy as hell. Yeah, it's interesting to me because, you know, it was a shock to see that, like, caricature of an effeminate man being portrayed. And I was like, in a way, like, I'm surprised this wasn't done earlier in a DCOM.
Mm-hmm. Because that's also a very...
It's happened in a DCOM? I'm trying to think and I don't remember...
Because, like, how we were talking about how it was very of its time for kids to be bad in school. It was very of its time to have characters like this.
Oh, yeah. And we saw characters like that all the time. But I was like, whoa. Like, it feels like this movie's getting a late pass in a good way that they have this gay caricature.
By the way, this actor has been in so much stuff. He books.
Good. Zaf Peru.
He books.
My question is, does he book those kind of roles?
Let's see. He's on The Good Doctor as an anesthesiologist.
Okay.
Malibu Rescue. Don't know what that is. As Thorne Pavey. Don't know what that is. Altered Carbon. Don't know what that is. Oh, The Magicians. As a character named Gillen.
Okay, so none of these are effeminate blanks. So that gives me hope.
I mean, no, none of the character names are effeminate blank.
Okay, interesting. Yeah, because, you know, as a gay person of color, it's like, all of these are such big triggers for me.
Oh, sure.
And then when you see one, you're like, ugh, okay. Yeah. But then you're like, DCOM had a sense of restraint for not hitting us with the lowest comment, you know, not like picking low-hanging fruit. And they waited for a Christmas movie to do that, so.
Well... And I also do wonder, because I don't know this actor, but I wonder if that's his real accent or not. Because if not, why?
Doubtful.
Why?
Doubtful.
Yeah.
You know, doubtful. Totally doubtful.
Like, why?
I mean, why? I mean, like, 20 years later, I still have to do roles where, like, they're very much like, do the accent. Do
that's,
it. And you're like,
that's
well,
insane.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, not much has changed, you know?
Hey, Hollywood. A paging Hollywood?
Yeah.
Stop. Stop okay. doing that. Stop okay. making people do things that are not appropriate. And okay. sometimes not even of their own culture.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Cool. Many
yeah,
times.
Because, like, I don't know what this guy's ethnicity is, but I don't think it was a Latinx character. I don't think it was. But I think to like a white audience is just like, oh, it's a brown person doing some weird accent and being gay as hell. That's like a trope that we feel very comfortable in. If it was his choice, honestly, here's what I'll say about that. If it was his choice, I would be okay with it. But if the people were like, no, you have to do this accent because it's funny, or you have to be this gay because it's funny.
It's so weird.
But it's, I don't know, it's like, I can unpack this forever and ever and ever. I just think it's so funny that, like, for a DCOM show, that you can't really talk about sexuality, really, because it's a kid's show, essentially. Like,
well, not, it's just not even, like, relevant to anything happening in
no,
any scene he's involved in.
And he didn't talk about being gay or, like, having a crush on men or anything like that.
Right.
But it's just that sort of, like, effect caricature that's like, ooh, why? Why was this a thing that was important?
Yeah.
But anyway.
I don't know. But, yeah, that's so, yeah, it totally stuck out like a sore thumb.
Oh, yeah. Especially because there were no other crazy characters with accents.
Yeah, it's like, and how did this guy and the mom meet? What's their relationship?
And you got only one person cooking all that food? No, sorry, I call bullshit on that too.
Yeah. It's weird. It's a weird business model, and she's like a caterer but cooking from her home kitchen, which I don't know, maybe it's a small catering company but very successful and popular. I don't know.
But maybe it's a small town. Oh, wait, no, it's Los Angeles.
Yeah, but it's the secret neighborhood of Los Angeles, so it feels like small town.
It's just a commune, essentially. It's just a commune. That's what that is. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Anyway, sorry to derail all of that, but that's my rant.
His versatility and range have allowed him to play all character types over the span of his film career, from devout religious astronauts to a four-armed blue-skinned evil witch to corporate sharks to flamboyant fresh-off-the-boat hairdressers. Who wrote this offensive description?
Is this on Wikipedia?
Is this on his Wikipedia?
This is on IMDb.
Oh.
So, yeah, I don't like it.
Hmm.
I'm just, and by the way, I quote. I did not make that up. But anyway.
Did he write that? God. Do you write your own IMDb?
I think you can. And this, I mean, is written by Anonymous. But it's like pretty detailed. And that's the only one on here. I don't know. Let's check.
Weirdly, that makes me think that the actor might not even be gay. Which, that's a problem. That's a
huge problem.
Makes
me think that it was his choice.
Yeah, which... okay, interesting. Okay, well, we're going to have to, you know, we'll put a pin on this.
Yeah, this is
I'm going to have to do a little personal reporting here.
Thank you. This is the Unsolved Mysteries portion of Inside the Disney Vault. Mm-hmm. We will get to the bottom of it. In his personal life, he's an avid foodie and
he's
sneaker collector.
He's a husband, dad, nerd, and it looks like his wife.
He was married in 2012 and loves his time spent also working as a teacher, playwright, and director.
His what?
Yeah, his blonde wife.
Blonde wife.
But still, he could still be queer.
That's true.
Maybe. Maybe, right?
Sexuality is a
writer,
spectrum.
Director, teacher, adventure seeker, sneakerhead, foodie, husband, dad, nerd, all rolled into a gluten-free non bread.
Oh, no. Gluten-free. Oh, God. Anyway, I'm so over
gluten-free.
This man. We need to move on.
Okay. Anyway, yes, now that we've devoted 25 minutes to Zaf Peru, let's see where we are.
Anyway, so they come home with the egg. They quickly go to their room to test it out. Uh-huh. And then they find out that it's a weather machine because it rains and then it lightnings and then they...
Earthquake,
which is when he freaks out and goes under the table and is like, get the emergency kit, you know? And then that's when they come up with the idea that they can make it snow and then have a snow day and miss school, not have to write their 5-page creative writing essay.
Yeah. Right. Ellie says it would literally be a service for the community.
Right. That's just her being a bad girl again.
Yeah.
Her even bad girl Samantha's logic. Samantha's
like, listen, you could just do your fucking paper. You had a long time to do it. Like,
she's getting like, tiring. I already did mine. Yeah.
Yeah, she's like, I already did mine, and I got an A+. Like, what are you talking about?
So mom comes in, and she's mad because the floor's soaked, the room's a mess. Allie puts the machine outside to hide it.
Even though
it.
They just all had an earthquake. I'm like, mom, really? Y'all just had an earthquake.
She's
like,
not fazed. She's a California
but
native, okay?
The mom thought it was just a truck driving by. That's what she says. She's
which,
like,
of course, is what we experience all the time.
I have had that experience, though, with earthquakes. I've been like, what was that? And then I look it up and everyone's freaking out on Twitter again. Or I've just not felt them at all. Mm. And then people are like freaking out. And I'm like, what's the deal?
Yeah.
So I feel like it, I don't know, it could be. She's preoccupied. She's making
this mom
five
is
turkeys.
Too stressed out. Too stressed out.
So... Mm. She puts the machine outside, and then we cut to the North Pole, and Mrs. Claus is calling to check in on Santa, who's at their, I guess, summer home cabin something. There she is, Mrs. Claus in Oscar's frame. And she's checking on him, and then these elves come in, but, wouldn't you know it, they're very tall. They're not your stereotypical elves, because this movie is breaking boundaries. Of stereotypes. Mm-hmm.
And they even say it. They're like, these people don't know that elves, they think they're like really short and have high voices. And these two are like.
One's a basketball player, right?
Yeah. One of them is like a legit basketball player. He books a lot too.
He does.
Works.
He's funny.
Very funny. Very really flat delivery. Very matter of fact. I liked him a lot. But they're like, their characterization is that they're very like. Get rich quick. They got a lot of schemes happening. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're like, let's retrain the elves to be telemarketers. And Mrs. Claus is straight up like, I think that's the worst idea I've ever heard, which I appreciated because she was nipping it in the bud.
Oh, yeah. Mrs. Claus was a badass. She was getting shit done.
Yeah, she was like, no. Santa calls to tell her that the weather machine is missing. And this is really when I was like, look, they both look like unauthentic Clauses to me. I did like Mrs. Claus a lot, but I did not believe she was Mrs. Claus.
Okay, it's now what is the thing that you're looking for in a Mrs. Claus?
The thing is, I don't really enjoy a Mrs. Claus usually. Like, I feel like there isn't one iconic Mrs. Claus that I believe. I don't know. I haven't thought about this, but it's a similar... The X factor. Because
you know what? Here's what I'm going to say to you.
What?
This is the best Mrs. Claus I've ever seen.
Okay.
To me, she is the quintessential Mrs. Claus.
I do like that she was like an equal business partner. She was not just baking cookies.
Hell yeah. She got a pantsuit on.
Yes, she is.
She's the business side of that relationship, and Santa Claus is sort of like creative.
Oh, yes, she's the Roy to his Walt.
Yes, ooh, good analogy. Mm-hmm.
I feel like we don't get to see Mrs. Claus a lot in movies because it's always about the man.
True.
Yes,
and
I
we
think
definitely
that's
don't
what
get
it
to
is.
See. Yeah, we definitely don't get to see enough of Mrs. Claus in this movie, even.
Actually, I feel like I've had this thought before. I would love a movie where Mrs. Claus is the protagonist.
Write it.
Do we have that?
Write it.
I'm going to write it. Don't take my ideas, anybody. I'm going to write it.
Well, everyone can write. There's a million movies. Nope. As we've seen with Disney Channel original movies, you can write a lot of the same movie and make it different.
Mrs. True. Claus movies are off limits until I've written mine.
Oh, dang. That could be for a while then.
I'm a very fast writer. I'll have it done by tomorrow.
Okay, it's a book report.
If there's a snowstorm.
All right.
If there's a snowstorm tomorrow, I'll know that Claire's procrastinating.
Yep. It's got to be 5 pages single space, Claire.
You guys, I'm not a bad girl. This isn't my bib that I'm wearing. I would never make a snowstorm. 5-page single space screenplay. I could do that.
That sounds easy.
It's going to be a 5-minute movie. And it can work. Anyway, so Mrs. Claus is like she's like, oh shit, you fucked up. You got rid of our machine.
She wants to send off the good elves, but they're like, no, Christmas is in like a few days. So then that's when the two. I would
love to see the good elves.
Yeah, see what they're like.
It's like they can't afford. What were the names, like Twinkie and Sparkle or something like that?
Yeah, Twinkles and I don't know. Twinkle
and Sparky. I don't know. They're cute sounding.
Yeah. So then she sends. It's kind of like in Mulan where they send Mushu instead.
The elders, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So they send the dumb elves, and they don't want to take the reindeer because they're afraid of the reindeer because Dancer, right. I guess, once punched one of them.
Yeah.
And then so they take this SUV, which is a Santa utility vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
CD, funny. Cookie dispenser.
Yeah.
Funny. It's so funny, too, how Mrs. Claus was like, you can go with the, I want to say, Prancer and Vixen?
What were they two? She said Prancer and Vixen. Yeah.
Because they don't get out much, which to me, I'm like, oh, my God, is there a hierarchy in the reindeer? Like, what do you mean they don't go out much? They all go out during Christmas.
But we know that they bully Rudolph. So maybe they're on the lower end of the totem pole.
Maybe Prancer and Vixen are just like, they like to stay inside. And so it's like, you need to get out, go outside and get some fresh air, you know?
But they're all playing video games.
Yeah, they're all video game heads. They've got Twitch streams and Mrs. Claus is like, you need to get off. And they're like, but this is how I make my money.
Yeah, so Prancer is the video game Twitch streamer and Vixen is the makeup tutorial blogger. Yeah, so they're doing their own thing. They are the ones that are like, okay, no, we're branching out.
Yeah, they're like, quarantine, what quarantine?
Exactly,
we're happy inside.
But turns out they can continue playing video games and makeup tutorials because they take that SUV, but one of the elves does not put gas in the SUV.
yeah.
So silly.
And they have to make an emergency stop.
But they're not even worried about it at all. They literally just have parachutes pop out and they float gently to the ground.
Yeah. Parachutes are like just umbrellas.
Yeah, umbrellas. Yes, it's a better word for it. Then we see the brother at the computer at home and dad calls Allie and he's like, Allie, 13 is too old to be acting up like this. This is about the room being wet or messy. Right. And he's like, I don't want Santa to find out, but I can't tell if he's being like cheeky or if she actually believes in Santa. Okay. Because she's kind of like, oh, dad, okay. And then it's snowing outside and all the kids go and frolic in the snow. And this is where the elves, they parachute to the ground or umbrella Mary Poppins, poor man's Mary Poppins to the ground. And in the new studio, the weatherman is a mess. He disregards this note that's handed to him about the fact that it's snowing. And he's like, it's impossible. It can't be snowing here. This is L.A.
So is the timeline, are they doing a morning news show? Because it starts snowing at night.
Also, like, did he not drive to work? Right.
They have the news all day. They have, like, a morning, and then they have, like, an 11 o'clock news.
Okay. That makes sense to me.
There is weather all day long. But I was like, they do that.
If this was the morning, look outside. What the hell?
Well, like, he had to get to work, too, right? It's been snowing for a little while.
Anyway, that was weird. Also, the other thing that I'll say is that when it started snowing, the funniest part of this movie was the little brother running up to the two girls and all of a sudden just singing a Christmas carol that made everyone just sing. And I thought that was the dumbest thing I have ever seen in my entire life.
But it's very Christmas movie. That happens all the time.
But it's like, what? If my little brother started singing a dumbass Christmas carol, I would push him in the damn snow. I'd be like, what the hell? But they were all just singing along like little Christmas robots.
So Santa sees on TV that's snowing in LA and Allie wants it to keep going because if it keeps going, then we could close the snow day. So the weatherman now all of a sudden is in a science lab that is in the television station, and he's like analyzing chunks of snow to like see if there's snow.
Yeah.
And his name is Edwin, and he gets sent to his boss's office, who, what is up with this boss? How would you all describe this man?
New York. He's from New York.
He's from New York.
He talks like this.
He's like
a stereotypical executive of a TV, like television exec, I guess.
But honestly, weirdly, I want to say cast too young.
I was going to say that. It's almost like a Jeremy Piven, a wannabe type,
and
almost.
Yeah, like Jeremy Piven in Entourage.
Yeah, like, but yes, and he's acting more like an agent or something, and not like a boss of a TV station who's like, hey, our ratings are down, I need you just, because basically what he says is, I need you to smile more.
Yeah.
And I need you, yeah, he's like, I need you to do your job and like look happy, because people think you're miserable.
Yeah.
And you're dull and boring.
And hit us with those hard stories. What celebrities have fallen on the ice?
yeah. Oh, and throughout this movie, they are name dropping a lot of like pop culture references and people at the time, and we kind of like hear them come in and out. And so, and also this boss Jeremy Piven guy is mad that Edwin didn't see the storm coming. He's like, "What's your problem?" I would be too.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah,
I would be.
Yeah, and Edwin also. I mean, but how could he? How could he? So, then we find out. He's married to Edwin's sister,
Belinda,
and we see a photo, and it is Peter Scolari in drag.
Oh my god!
Very silly. It's very, very silly.
It's an homage. It's an homage to bosom buddies.
Easter egg.
I thought you were gonna say it's an homage to Jack and Jill.
No.
Adam Sandler classic.
Was that movie out yet?
No, but Adam Sandler saw that movie and was like, maybe there's something there.
This movie inspired Jack and Jill. I mean, thank God.
Thank God.
What would we do without it?
I don't know.
So in my notes, I literally wrote in all caps, this is weird. Because this scene is just like so outside of the flow of what's been happening and so late into the movie that now we're getting this like backstory situation from the weatherman.
Yeah,
it's interesting that you would introduce a quote-unquote villain so late in the movie.
Right.
But also, I'm tired of these villains, of these people who have, like, these scientists or whatever who really love their jobs and are really good at it, but then, like, something goes wrong or something, and then they're made out to be a villain. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is weird that...
It's like Eugene Levy's character in Splash, too. He just wants to find out if mermaids exist, and then he's made into this villain.
I know, but I think for kids, anyone who's an adult is not to be trusted, especially when you have an adult doing a job.
Because his attitude is so weird, because he could have easily still been the antagonist trying to figure out how this happened, but not, like, mad about his job or bad at his job.
Another perfect example, Eugene Levy in New York Minute.
Oh, yeah. That movie is also racist.
Is that a Mary Kate and Ashley movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've never seen it.
Just a little bit problematic.
Does Andy Richter ever apologize for his character in that movie?
I don't think so.
He needs to.
I do not think so.
I'm calling for it right now.
barbershop. I mean, we could talk about New York Minute for a New York Minute. Longer than that, actually. But Wow. Anyway, for those of you listening, check out New York Minute and be just as angry as I was when I watched it.
Yeah.
That sounds like fun. I like to be angry.
Simple Plan's in it.
Simple Plan is
so school is canceled, baby.
Woo! This was exciting. It reminded me of when I was waiting to see if classes would be canceled at NYU, and you're just like waiting for the email where it says classes are canceled. When they're watching the news, and then she's like listing off all the schools that are closed, and she skips over their school, and she's all disappointed, and she's like, oh, correction, and Grant Junior High.
Yeah.
So they go out and they play in the snow again. And the elves show up at Santa's cabin, and they pitch the SUV. Oh, I guess they're, like, trying to sell Santa on this SUV thing.
Yeah.
And Santa's like, I don't know what your nonsense is. I have to find this machine, okay?
Which fair. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, fair. Again, they're like, why did we hire you two? So he uncovers a footprint and figures out that the machine has been stolen. And there have been 14 inches of snow since last night, which is 13.7 more inches than we've ever had in LA, I guess, is what the weather guy says. Dad's flight has been delayed because he's in San Francisco for business. And Santa and elves go after... Okay, so Santa realizes that this footprint was made by a specific shoe that he gave out as Christmas presents. So he goes after the girls that fit this same description, which is a little weird and creepy that these big men are cornering these children and being like,
I definitely got that vibe too. Yes.
Hey, little girl. But they are in the bad girls club because they're on.
And we know that because of check it off your bingo card montage,
baby. So yeah, bad girls club montage, and they corner these children and ask them if they have the weather machine, and of course none of them do.
You know what I was mad about? I was mad that girl at the end, she wasn't in this movie longer, because I thought she was the best actor in this whole movie.
Well,
the
girl who ate the chocolate,
I was like,
she's so funny because she's real. Like, you could tell she's just a real like,
why isn't she Allie?
Child.
Damn, I was pissed.
She, you know, you could tell, like, she was a real child when she's, like, doing her, like, smirking. That was real smirking.
100%.
It was amazing.
She wasn't acting. She was channeling. And here's the thing that I'll say. How much money you want to bet those three girls were, like, all screen tested for Allie's part? And Allie ended up getting it. And they were like, okay, we'll give you these other parts.
Mom is shuffling schedules around. Oh, okay. So Hallie tries to turn the machine off. And she's like, can you imagine how much we'd miss him? Meaning her dad. And then turns to Sam. And then that's when we find out that Sam's dad is no longer with us. And it's this moment. And she's like, oh, shit. Oops, I said something that made you feel bad. And kind of realizes that for the first time.
It was that whole thing of like, I can't spend a Christmas without my dad. Oh yeah, your dad's dead. I'm sorry. I'm a bad friend.
Not only is your dad dead, but it's his favorite holiday. And every year on Christmas, you think of your dad the most. So, oops.
I'm going to bring it up because I'm a bad friend.
Oops.
Yeah.
But this was a testament to Brenda Song's acting ability, because I thought she did kill that scene.
Yeah,
because I mean watching it now, I was a little like, whoa, that feels out of left field, but still, like, we needed that little moment for that connection there. So Mom's shuffling their schedules around for Christmas Eve, because again, they're all very busy, and Allie and her brother decided to decorate a cactus in case there's no time to get a tree. And Allie wakes up the next morning, but the storm is even worse. The machine didn't get turned off. Mm-mm. We hear that the National Guard has been called out, so people don't use freeways. It's a big mess. It's a disaster.
Oh, and then there's, like, bits and pieces throughout. This is worth mentioning, but not delving at all, that the little brother thinks that's the present. That his sister gave him. So he's, like, trying to reach it. So he's just doing his job, which is being an annoying little brother.
Yeah.
So in the news studio, we heard the cast of Friends is trapped inside their studio, is one of those little asides. Peter Scolari, he uses his computer, again, bingo, to enhance where the center of this storm
Another
is.
Another Rip Girls moment.
He somehow has a computer with a map of California and an icon of a cyclone situation, and he enhances into Allie's house, essentially. Right. So he knows where he's got to go. Mom says that aunt and uncle and grandparents are snowed in and won't make it for Christmas. And they literally all cry because of that.
Yeah.
And then Allie realizes, like, oh, shit, I fucked up.
Yeah. And we see there are cars stuck in the snow. The weatherman is in chaos. And he commandeers a snowmobile from a man who for some reason owns a snowmobile in Los Angeles and is using it.
That man must be real happy. He's like, finally I get to use this thing outside.
Yeah, he's like, my wife said I would never need this, but who's laughing now?
Does he take trips to Big Bear? I don't know.
Maybe he does. Maybe he's really rich and he has every kind of vehicle.
Yeah.
So Blake canceled the party because of the storm. Everything's turning to shit.
This was upsetting because it's like I wanted to see a teenage party. And
that would have been a very fun scene.
We'll never get to see Blake again.
Blake's teenage party, that was like happening at a daycare.
I wanted to see it. Mm-hmm.
Pass on everybody gets a bottle of milk when they arrive.
Everyone,
and they're all
dancing
eating baby food.
To My Only Wish This Year by Britney Spears.
They're all crawling around, getting diaper changes. It's a mix, it's a mashup of Quince and Ultimate Christmas Present. So Allie says that she's like, I have an idea. I'm going to take this wire and make the storm go to outer space instead of here. And then, of course, Sam, being smart, is like, oh, so you're going to make it snow over the whole world. And she's like, yeah, you're right. That's a stupid idea. So Allie calls Sam a chicken and then basically immediately apologizes. And she's like, I don't know. I'm scared. I don't know what to do. And Sam's like, well, maybe if we put it in a metal, like a lead box, we can get it to stop of sending out a signal
because it worked on Superman.
Exactly, so it's probably gonna work in real life too. So they go to the garage for the box, and Santa and the elves are in there creepily again, and Santa like reads Allie to filth about all of her inadequacies and bad girlness. And then the weatherman shows up at the house, also acting like a real creep to Mom, who answers the door.
Yes.
And she offers him coffee, and he's like, yeah, do you have any cookies and donuts and turkey and pie? Because I guess he's just, like, stalling because he's trying to look for this device.
Or he's just really hungry.
Yeah.
Maybe. More likely, yes. So, it's important. Okay. So Santa was like, this is important because I was trying to give people the ultimate Christmas present, which is
bingo card.
Snow. Yes.
That's the name of the movie.
Mm-hmm. Snow, the ultimate Christmas present to remind everyone of the magic of the season. And then we see the little brother has stolen the weather machine, but then the weatherman like wrestles it out of his hands. And he says, I am going to be the greatest weatherman in the world because I'll control the weather. And it's a cartoon. And then there's like a showdown over the machine, but the weatherman escapes to a candy factory.
Yeah. This is funny. He falls into chocolate.
Yes, he falls into a vat of chocolate. And then we get, I would say, maybe the least climactic action sequence I have seen.
Yeah.
Where Santa and the elves and the girls, like, and maybe the brother, go to the candy factory, and there's chocolate dripping from the ceiling, and then we see the weatherman above, and he kind of just says, you'll never get the weather machine, and then they get the weather machine.
Yeah, he, like, zip lines down to a cotton candy box, and then he's covered in cotton candy, ha ha ha, and then Yeah, they get him, and they kidnap him, and they take him to Santa's summer cottage where he fixes the machine.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we find out Allie's on the naughty list, but that will change if she's learned something today. And he says, you gotta be responsible and unselfish. And Edwin is real salty, and he's like, I have a Pulitzer Prize to win, thinking that he's still gonna somehow steal this weather machine. And Santa's ashamed of him. Edwin says, life's not fair. He always wanted to be a meteorologist when all the other kids wanted to do other things. But I don't really understand what his deal is here or his problem.
I think he's feeling disrespected.
Yeah.
And Santa clocks it and it's like, listen, we need to take you somewhere where people can appreciate you. And ultimately, the weatherman says yes.
Yeah, because he's like, you know, the weather in LA is boring for you, so let's send you to the North Pole.
Mm-hmm.
And Allie asks Santa for a favor, but we don't hear what it is. And then Mom says, okay, it's Christmas morning, and Mom's really apologetic because Dad's not there. And I think she says she couldn't get the presents that they had asked for, which, again, Mom, why are you waiting until the last minute? And then, you know, they're like, that's okay, but we want to wait until dad gets there for presents. And she's like, you guys are going to be waiting a while. Mm-hmm. And dad gets special delivered by who?
The elves. Who go like this. Shh. In the most non-creepy way possible.
They put their finger to their mouth.
And like very, for the listeners, it's very Pretty Little Liars.
Don't tell anybody that we did anything.
And then the men in black arrive. That's a special little treat
for our Patreon.
Yeah. And so the weatherman, he's in the North Pole teaching nerds just like him.
This was funny.
So what's the story here? Did they all see him and were like, this is a style icon and emulated him? Or do all elves dress that way? That can't be true because the two elves didn't dress like this.
They're people.
Oh, they're other weathermen. Which
Yes, they all idolized him, so they all wear bow ties and glasses, and they think he's super cool. And that's why they're like, he's so cool.
The stereotypical taped glasses.
Yeah, you gotta have one of those. Otherwise, we won't know he's a nerd.
Also, you don't. How do you know if someone's even wearing glasses if they don't have tape in the middle?
Yeah, exactly. Well, because they need those glasses, so they have tape, instead of it just being a stylistic choice.
They're poor. Oh, yes. Yes. They can't afford new frames. Right. This is actually
and
really
all nerds are poor.
Because that's why this you guys travesty. Are not nerds, and I can tell that because your glasses don't have tape.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm rich as fuck.
I got contacts, baby.
Yeah, your eyesight is perfect. Those are just style choices.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
Totally. I get it.
And then that's how the movie ends.
The end.
The end. Wow! 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 What is the moral of this story?
The moral of the story is you got to find yourself a believable, magical Santa. Because if not, I'm going to be questioning him the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
Mine is just write the damn paper, Allie. Jesus.
Yeah.
I would say, listen, how about not using a cactus as a Christmas tree? That shit is dangerous.
And pretty ugly.
And yeah, and ugly, hideous.
Hey, ugly. Some people like it.
I mean, I think you could make it cute, but I don't think they made it very
There's,
cute.
How do, that is, I saw that scene and I was like, this is irresponsible. I know that there's no, like, needles on this cactus, but you don't know. You never know.
You never know if there's a needle on a cactus. Mm-hmm.
There are pine needles on pine trees.
That's true.
Oh, myth busted. Damn. They're not safe either. Why does everything safe. Have
you
to
know
have
what?
Needles?
Just don't use a fake ass tree. How about that?
Yeah.
Pre-decorated if you can.
Yes, yes.
Okay, let's cast ourselves.
Oh boy.
Claire? You can be Allie because you're trying to be bad girl.
That's right. Yeah.
I am a bad girl.
Today's episode, you are definitely.
I am a bad girl. Yeah. Oscar, I think you could make a fun Sam.
Sam? Not what I was expecting, but oh my
God. I know.
Yes.
And then Oscar, I think you could play a few of the nerds at the end of the movie.
For sure. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but Oscar, also, you could be a good Mrs. Claus.
Thank you. That's what I was waiting for.
Yeah.
That's the right answer. Definitely a badass Mrs. Claus. Mm-hmm. What a shame we didn't get to see Mrs. Claus more often. Oh, well.
Don't worry,
I'll
you'll see her.
Always have this background.
You'll see her in my movie, okay? You'll see her. Don't
Good.
Worry.
Thank you.
Yeah,
By
Claire,
the time I write it, I'm going to be old enough to play her.
Yeah. Claire, just write the damn screenplay.
You guys, I'm sorry. I just had a podcast to record, so I haven't really had the time to write the screenplay yet. But I'll get right to it, maybe after I make a snowstorm. Let's see. Rachel... is no, I can't remember characters.
Rachel would play the elf that voices Patrick Starr.
That's who I am.
A good one. That's a good one. That's a good one. That's perfect. It's great.
Uh-huh. Because I definitely get punched in the face by reindeer because I like to poke them.
Don't feed the reindeer. Okay,
let's. All right, let's talk about the zaddy in this movie with our zaddy watch.
Oh, he's like so brief.
Let's. Okay. Wait. I mean, but so essential to the storyline.
Yeah. True. Like this zaddy. He's actually in the show Dead Like Me. I don't know if you've ever seen it.
I love Dead Like Me.
Yeah.
He's Who does he play in that show?
He's the dad in that show too.
Oh.
I did not remember that.
He's cute.
Whoa, Rachel!
And he seems like a good dad. He's got a doing business. You know, I'm gonna give him and he works really hard to get home.
Uh huh.
I'm gonna give him a platinum zaddy.
Rachel!
Oh! Oh my god!
Is this your first platinum zaddy?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh okay. My god, Rachel!
Wow. I'm looking at him now. Okay, he is an attractive man. He's just like not very in. I feel like he's not in it enough for me to give him a platinum on for like me personally. But he is a good dad, and he's doing his job, and he also like he kind of jokes around and has a sense of humor about it. So I'm gonna give him a gold zaddy.
Yeah.
A gold zaddy?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this zaddy is he's attractive. I like his eyes. He's got nice eyes.
Wow.
You know, I'm gonna say it. He has a nice butt because I clocked that.
Oh, wow. So I do not even remember.
I like his zaddy butt.
A zaddy butt.
And, I mean, there's a reason why Allie was so, like, obsessed with the dad. I mean, he's, like, a provider, but also really nice, really fun. I think because the mom is almost, like, never around. Like, the dad is usually, like, the fun one. You know what I mean? So I think both of those kids have a really close attachment to the dad. And his vibe gels with me very much. I mean, he's no Mr. Sheffield from Mom's Got a Date with a
But with remember, a you have unlimited, platinums to give
that's
out.
That's true, but I mean, to me, that's like platinum status. Like, that's the stratosphere that very few people, zaddies can inhabit.
Yeah.
So with that being said, he's a golden zaddy for me. For
like
sure.
A sparkling golden zaddy.
Yeah, like he's cute. But he's not Mr. Sheffield.
Okay, Mr. Sheffield has lowered or raised the bar for everybody else.
100%. Because I was, you know, rating on a curve, but as when, you know, Mr. Sheffield showed up, I was like,
That curve changed.
Y'all ain't ready for this, no.
And he wasn't even a dad in that movie, so wow.
No, he was not a dad, he was a zad. Okay?
Zad.
All right, let's rate this. Out of 5 weather machines, how many Baby Yoda weather machines do you give the ultimate Christmas present?
I'll give it. You go ahead.
Okay. I'll give it 1.5 weather.
Oh, wow.
I didn't really enjoy this movie. I just because I felt like there could have been so much more fun to be had with a Christmas movie. I wanted to see that party, man. I want to see a Christmas party. I really like this cast because they're in a bunch of other things. But that's the thing. I like them in a bunch of other things. I think Disney will notice this because they're going to stop doing them. But Disney has a hard time doing Christmas movies. Their holiday that they do well is Halloween, and that's they keep doing Halloween movies.
Oh, good point.
But Christmas movies are not as much fun, or I don't know. I mean, like Christmas. The reason why Hallmark movies do well is because they're like romantic and they're like homey. But like, you can't really do a romantic comedy for children. You know, there's always got to be some sort of Santa magical element. I don't know. So, not as much fun as it could have been. Cast is great. But I don't think I'll watch it again. One and a half.
Yeah, I agree. I think it could have been more magical, but still, I just give it a straight down the middle three Baby Yodas because the cast is fun and also, like, it's a fun, it's like a good premise, but again, like, the Santa's off to me and the elves are just, like, too dumb and it could have been actually much more funny with those guys, but I don't know. But it was, like, it's fine, but, like, it doesn't really feel like a Christmas movie either, which I think is the trouble.
Yeah, for me, this is getting one star. I don't like Christmas movies, like, period, at all. So I think they're too sappy and sort of lame. And this one fits in that category. And Rachel, I didn't even clock that until you brought it up, but I think you're 100% right. Like, Halloween is what they know, which is weird for Disney to not be good at Christmas movies. But I think with the budget, it's not like the Santa Claus, you know, which has a budget and like whatever. It just feels like very low budget, like poor quality and not very memorable or fun. Like even the title looked like it was going to suck, you know? And I walked into it being like, my expectations are so low for this movie. And I was right. And even with low expectations, I was still disappointed. The only bright spot is, to be honest, Mrs. Claus. I thought she was great. And Brenda Song, I think, is really great. But you know what? I'm going to see her later, and she's going to kill later. So I'm looking forward to seeing more of Brenda Song. And I like Brenda's mom in the movie a lot, too. But
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who is she? We barely knew her. She
was at the hospital.
She was great, an essential worker. Shout out to the essential workers out there. But I just didn't like it. I'm realizing that I have zero tolerance for like asshole protagonists, and I felt like she was one. And I'm not with it. I'm not with it. It's just not my thing. Yeah. So yeah, it's getting one.
Well, it's getting pretty snowy in here.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
We need to get the heck out of here.
Yeah.
Gosh, let's get on this. Go to a new year.
Yeah, for sure. Let's get on this SUV.
Oh.
And drive off somewhere else, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Sport utility vehicle.
That's right, yeah. Let me put these umbrellas down.
Utility.
All right. Thank you so much for listening. I'm Claire.
I'm Oscar.
I'm Rachel.
Let's go.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey everybody, thanks so much for listening to this week's episode of Inside the Disney Vault. We officially have finished watching every single DCOM in the year 2000.
In the year 2000.
That's wild.
To the year 2000.
Millennium, yeah. Millennium. What else, what else, what else, what
else, what else? Millennium.
Yes, as you can tell, we're a little stir crazy with watching DCOMs. So why not step a little outside of the DCOM vault and try to find something a little more current, huh?
Current or very historic?
Okay, yes.
That was a hint.
Yeah.
Okay, for someone who's never heard a song or seen it, I have no idea what you're talking about. So, Claire, why don't you tell us what we're going to watch?
We're going to go for Hamilton.
Hamilton!
Yeah.
You asked. We're listening.
That's right. So, next week, we're going to cover the musical Hamilton, the mega musical that's on Disney Plus right now. So, you guys can check it out.
Have you all seen Hamilton?
Yes.
No.
Wow.
I saw an American musical in London. And then I saw it on Disney Plus, which everybody can watch easily with the original Broadway cast. That's very cool that it's
Claire,
available.
Did you watch Hamilton in London or did you just watch an American musical?
Yeah, that definitely sounded like American you saw the musical called the American Musical.
Oh, you guys don't know that show? It's called An American Musical. It has nothing to do with Hamilton, but I thought it was relevant to bring it up right now. But yeah, we'll chat about it next week. So yeah, watch it if you'd like or not, and just you can listen to us chat about it.
Yeah.
And
how does buckle a up. Bastard?
Yeah, buckle up for a lot of singing.
I'm excited to finally get to see a musical everyone has been talking at me about for 2 years, 3 years. I don't know how long.
Including Lin-Manuel Miranda himself.
Including Lin-Manuel Miranda. Finally, I get to see, like, hey, what's he been up to? Yeah.
Yeah, you'll be like, oh, that's what we were talking about.
That's okay. What we were talking about. That's right.
Got it.
My good friend Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yeah.
It's the lamplight guy from Mary Poppins Returns.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
You're telling me he does more than that?
Yeah.
He's in more than that?
It's Usnavi from In the Heights.
Okay. Well, I'm very excited to watch Hamilton.
Me too.
So, join us next week where we talk about Hamilton.
Dun, dun, dun.
All right, well, that's it. Join us next week where we talk about Hamilton. Bye.
Bye.
Have you ever encountered an unexplained hairy bipedal hominid in the woods?
Have you received telepathic messages from an unidentified aerial phenomenon?
If so, then you need to listen to Bigfoot Collectors Club. I'm Michael McMillan.
And I'm Bryce Johnson.
And together with super producer
Riley Bray,
we make up the Bigfoot Collectors Club.
That's right. Every week we talk to actors, comedians, writers, and paranormal experts about their personal paranormal histories and share stories of high strangeness.
Like the time when we talked to Craig Ferguson about the Loch Ness Monster and when a sea witch told him he had raven magic.
Or the time I asked Pitch Perfect's Anna Camp her opinion on cattle mutilations. Past guests have included Rachel Bloom, Jen Kirkman, Paul F. Tompkins, Bobcat Goldthwait, and more.
So if you've ever been abducted alongside five reindeer by an alien with drills for hands, or witnessed Bigfoot crawl out of an interdimensional portal,
don't laugh, happens all the time.
Then check out Bigfoot Collectors Club on Campfire Media or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bigfoot Collectors Club, you're here to believe us.
Wait, is that how it goes?
Campfire.